This Advent season, we're considering themes arising from the very first responses to Jesus Christ, which occurred actually before his birth. Last week, we looked at Joseph, whose response to Mary's pregnancy illustrated how faith in Christ can begin. And this week, we look at Mary, who illustrates very well how such faith grows over time. Please listen to our text, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
We know so little about this person who was given the immense privilege of bearing Jesus Christ. We know that she is a girl from Nazareth in the region of Galilee. Well, that alone tells us something about her. Nazareth was one of the smallest and most insignificant of villages in Israel. I've been there. It's just an incredibly tiny place. It's so insignificant, you may recall that when Nathanael later heard that Jesus was from Nazareth, his response was, "Nazareth, can anything good come out of there?" This text says that she was a virgin betrothed to the local a builder, perhaps a carpenter. Assuming the customs of the time, that tells us that she was probably very young, actually maybe much younger than most women are today when they get married. It was probably an arranged marriage and a good match for her, since her betrothed was a skilled builder who would be able to support a family. And to this young bride-to-be, the angel Gabriel appeared, not in a dream as with Joseph, but while she was wide awake, and told her she was going to be pregnant, and it was her calling to bear a very important person. Now, she did not doubt that God could and would accomplish this, but she didn't understand. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin. I mean, are you saying that I'm going to have a son by Joseph? Am I to marry somebody else? What are you saying?" And Gabriel explained that it would be a divine conception. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary's response was immediate, and it was positive, and thus began two miracles at the same time, one which was unique to her and the other which we share with her. First, the miracle of God becoming physically incarnate, growing in her womb, but then also the miracle of Jesus beginning to grow in her soul, that is, faith taking root within her heart. The physical incarnation began when Jesus was conceived, not when he was born, but when he was conceived. Max Lucado wrote, "While the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The Omnipotent in one instant made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus. Holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God had come near." Or as John Donne wrote much earlier, thou hast light in dark and shuttest in little room immensity cloistered in thy dear womb. From that moment of conception, God incarnate, God made flesh, grew in Mary about 9 months. His skeleton formed, his organs and nerves grew, his brain developed, and by the time he was born, he was a whole, perfect human being. What do you think it felt like to have God growing inside of you? Actually, Jesus was growing inside of Mary in more ways than one, because the influence of his spirit was growing in her soul at the same time. Mary's faith was growing. When Jesus was conceived in Mary's body, Mary exercised faith in him. Verse 38, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said. Pretty impressive response for a young girl. Did you notice that Gabriel said nothing about Joseph, their impending marriage? Mary probably assumed exactly what happened. As soon as Joseph found out she was pregnant, he would immediately call off the wedding. Mary was willing to face a hard and lonely life, raising a son without a father, in the face of social pressure, because she believed in who Jesus is, the Son of God. And that was just the beginning. By the time Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth, she had written a poem. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And what follows, as we saw earlier, was a very thoughtful psalm on the fulfillment of Old Testament promises. Mary believed that the redemption prophesied for thousands of years is about to be accomplished, and her child is going to be the Savior. In fact, her child is going to be her Savior, she said. Mary's consciousness of her own need for salvation is evidence of God's grace in her soul. Her faith in Christ is growing. Not only does she believe in who he is, now she believes in what he was sent from heaven to do. And when Jesus was born, we all know, of course, how a group of local shepherds turned up. They testified to an announcement they heard from a multitude of angels. And at the end of that text, it particularly mentions how Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Well, you would think that anybody involved in that night would ponder what happened. But there must have been something very special about Mary. She considered, she explored, she thought about what was happening very deeply. After the birth, Jesus was no longer growing inside of her body, but faith was still growing inside of her soul. Her faith was still growing. In that sense, Jesus was still growing inside. Mary's not a major figure in the four Gospels, but whenever we do see her, she's exercising her faith. At a wedding in Cana, she anticipates Jesus' ministry of joyous signs and miracles. When most of his disciples fled, she remained faithful at the foot of his cross. And most interestingly, just after Jesus' ascension and just before Pentecost, Mary is specifically mentioned as waiting there among the disciples. Jesus Christ grew inside of Mary. Physically, she gave him birth. Spiritually, he caused her soul to be reborn. Christian faith is kind of like a child that is growing inside of us. Maybe it's because of the incarnation, but that's a favorite New Testament theme. It's Jesus is growing inside of us. Of course, it's a metaphor, it's an analogy, but it's saying something very profound because it's more than that. It's something very real. Jesus talked about how our spirits had to be reborn inside. In fact, he said later for his disciples that coming to faith would be like the birth of a child, full of grief and pain because of the cross, but eventually resulting in great joy. Both the apostles Peter and John speak of God's own seed initiating life in us. The Apostle John also said that all who receive Jesus become children of God. Oh, not born of natural descent or a husband's will, but born of God. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian churches, you can hear his passionate concern to see their faith mature. And the way he phrases it is this. He says, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. To see Christ formed in these believers, Paul was feeling sympathetic pains of childbirth as he labored like a midwife to see Jesus spiritually grow in them as Jesus physically grew in Mary's womb. The analogy of spiritual growth even extends beyond childbirth, as if our new identity in Christ were a child that's growing, that's maturing into adulthood. Peter said, like newborn babies, craves pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. The author of Hebrews likened his perpetually immature readers to infants who were still dependent on simple spiritual milk for nourishment when they should be eating meat by now. And of course, Paul saw the entire church this way, writing how he longed that the body of Christ, a different kind of incarnation of Christ's spirit in this world, the body of Christ, the church as a whole, might be built up until we all attain to the whole measure of the fullness or the stature of Christ as a grown man. Then we'll no longer be infants. Instead, we will always grow up into Christ together. And all this goes back to the incarnation, to Mary conceiving and bearing Jesus. Just as Jesus grew inside of Mary physically, there is a sense in which Jesus, or the influence of Jesus' Spirit, grows inside of the soul of every believer. I realize, of course, that carrying a child does not make a human being complete. It's certainly something I'll never know. But surely it must be a profound experience to have another human being inside of you, distinct from you, yet part of you. A presence which at the same time is yourself and yet is somebody else, intimate and yet alien. This idea of the growth of another person inside of you, who is someone else and yet who is still you at the same time, a new you, whom you are responsible to nourish. This is one of the great biblical analogies of faith. Faith is like Jesus growing in your soul. Another person, an alien, a righteousness that is alien to you. It's not yours, it's His that you share. A love, a trust in God that is alien to you, that you begin to share. And yet in the most intimate way imaginable, He is part of you. He has been conceived in your soul, and He's growing there. He's growing there in the sense that your faith is growing. Your new identity is growing. To extend the analogy even further, faith, your new identity in Christ, is kind of like a child in your home, becoming more and more mature as you help it to grow through God's means of grace. You know, the Bible teaches that faith is something that needs to grow inside of you. The biblical word is sanctification. When you come to faith, it's as if a spark of life ignites inside of you, as if someone else has been conceived in your soul, Jesus Christ conceived in your soul. And not only is He born in your life, but your faith in Him continues to grow like a child that you're helping to raise. At first, when it first starts, you know nothing more than that He is simply there. Eventually, you see Him. You see Him with a faith as innocent and fragile as a miniature creche. But over time, if all goes well, your faith grows. Your faith in Christ gets bigger. It gets stronger, as if He were growing up in the home of your soul. Until you learn to share your faith with fellow Christians, and then among us all, He attains full stature in a fellowship that represents Him fully to the world. And just as in raising a physical child, you are responsible for your faith's welfare. I want to say that again because that's a strange notion. Just as in raising a physical child, you are responsible for your faith's welfare. I mean, true, like anything else, living faith will grow naturally, and your faith will grow naturally too, but only if it is nurtured, only if it is given what it needs, only if it's protected, only if it's encouraged. Just think how carefully and conscientiously a mother cares for a baby in her womb. How carefully she nourishes herself and gets medical attention. Think how much effort goes into preparing for a child by both parents. You have to get the room ready. You have to accumulate an amazing amount of equipment. Sometimes you even go get to classes. I've got an old 8mm film of Mickey when she was carrying Renee. And she's sitting next to the stack of books. What is it? 3-4 feet high. It's a huge stack of books. Every book we could find on child raising, we just buy. And I used stop action photography, so you could see her reading through all these books in about 3 minutes. It's really great. We did. We read through them all, trying to prepare. You work hard to prepare for a child. You adapt your habits. You adapt your lifestyle. You adapt your budget. You adapt everything for a child. And raising a child, that's more of the same. For 2 decades, there's always another person to think about. All the time. All the time. You don't do anything. You don't fix a meal. You don't go to a store. You don't plan a vacation or choose a church. You don't make a career decision without thinking about your child. And when you're done, if all goes well, what you end up with is a friend. A very, very special friend for all eternity. Someone with whom you have an unbreakable bond, mutual love and care. Someone who'd do anything for you. Someone who'll love you forever. Now, I realize in a broken world, it doesn't always end up that way, does it? Often things don't end up the way they should in a broken world. And that's what we have to remember about sanctification, too. Our faith in Christ doesn't always end up maturing so well either. As many things can go wrong with our faith as can go wrong in a pregnancy or in child raising. Though it is so, so very painful to think about, some choose to terminate, to kill their faith before it can ever be fully formed. I think it's done out of fear. They aren't sure whether they want this other person in their lives. It's just too much of a commitment. Well, you know, it's true. Having Jesus Christ in your life, it's a huge commitment. Can't think of anything without thinking about Him. But even when faith is allowed to be born, so much can still go wrong. Faith can be neglected. You know, there are lots of kids these days who see very little of their parents. They're provided for physically, but not emotionally. Their parents have a great track all laid out for their child's development in school and sports and college, but it doesn't always involve them, the parents, very much. They live in the same house, and yet they barely interact. They never get to know each other. They never become friends. And there are Christians who treat their faith this way. Think of it as latchkey faith, if you'd like. Technically, they do all the right religious things. They go to a good church. They honor the Bible at home. And yet, there isn't much of a relationship developing with this Jesus who's growing up here. They don't involve Him in their lives, their hopes and their dreams and their challenges. They never get to know this Jesus Christ, whom they are raising, as it were, in their life. They never become friends. And sad to say, faith can actually be abused. There are children who are horribly ill-used by their parents, locked in closets, beaten down physically, verbally, their bodies and their spirits stunted, violated. Perhaps passing on to the next generation the abuses inherited from a previous generation. And equally sad to say, there are Christians and there are churches who abuse faith in that way, torturing their own faith with pain and twisted ideas inherited from the past, raising a twisted image of Jesus in their souls, one whose conscience knows little of God's truth or whose heart knows little of God's love. Oh, there's lots that can go wrong in raising one's faith. God has given us means of grace by which we can nurture the faith that's growing inside of us. He's given us the Word. He's given us prayer. He's given us the sacraments, all in the context of a mutually caring and mutually accountable fellowship. But we can neglect those means. We can neglect the tender faith that's growing inside of us. We can neglect the growing faith that we are raising so that it never reaches maturity. Mary is a positive example of a faithful disciple who nurtured Jesus as He grew inside of her. And when the Bible leaves her story in the book of Acts, it leaves her not as some goddess you know, virtually equal with God, partly responsible for our redemption. She's not the queen of heaven ready to receive our prayers. We leave her simply as listed among the disciples, which means that her faith had grown up. She pondered everything in her heart. She watched Jesus grow. She accepted his work. And the child she had carried became not only her Savior, but her friend. So tell me, Christian, you tell me. How does it feel to have God growing inside of you? The whole point of sanctification is that Jesus' Spirit is becoming, in a way, incarnate in us. Not in the same way as it was with Christ, but the influence of his Spirit is impacting our body and our soul. He's growing inside of you, distinct from you, yet part of you. His alien righteousness and love and trust in the Father becoming part of who and what you are. You are responsible to raise your faith, Christian, in the home of your soul. I'm not doing that for you. I'm helping, I hope, but you're responsible to raise your faith. Every day, every single day, your faith looks up to, into your eyes and asks for nourishment and asks for protection and asks for love. And as you care for your faith, Jesus grows in your life. He becomes more himself, and you get to know each other. What are you doing to raise your faith, to care for it as it's developing inside of you? If you're a good disciple, then you're going to do absolutely nothing without considering its impact on your faith. Your budget, your lifestyle, everything has to get adjusted around your faith. You have to provide for it in every decision. There are things that your faith needs to do in order to grow, and you want to be there to cheer it on and be a part of it. There are things that your faith needs to see you doing so it can be a part of your life. So Jesus can be a part of your life. Your faith needs to be protected. How are you protecting it? Do you allow it to be exposed to every virus, every sickness the world would attack it with? Do you allow it to be picked on mercilessly without ever sticking up for it? Your faith needs to grow and become stronger and more mature. Do you protect it too much? Do you shield it from reality so it doesn't know how to thrive outside of your protecting wings? Hey, nobody ever said it was going to be easy raising Jesus Christ in your life. Is your faith getting regular nourishment? Is it getting regular exercise, or is it way overweight? Are you actively striving to recover from spiritual abuses in your past? Facing the way faith was twisted and abused by others, and determine that you will not raise something equally twisted yourself? And most importantly, are you getting to know this Jesus who is growing inside of you? Is he growing up? Or is he still, in your mind, just a small, vulnerable baby in a creche? Really too little to tell very much about him. Well, I'll tell you, he won't grow up if you keep him all to yourself. It's only when we share him together with a whole family of faith that he can grow up into the full stature of a man with every gift and every grace. Oh, it's such a joy to watch Mary receive and raise Jesus. Christian, we need to be like her. How can this be that God would be conceived and grow inside of me? It's a miracle. It's something God does inside us. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said. Ponder these things in your heart. Watch Jesus grow in your life. Encourage his work. Stand at the foot of his cross. Become his disciple. And the Savior who was born in your soul will grow to become your friend forever.